and want us to imagine Jesus and the apostles. Jesus had been resurrected, came forth from the tomb. He had talked with his apostles. But the day and the time is fast approaching when he's no longer going to be with them. He's going to ascend into heaven. He gives them what we normally call the Great Commission. About as you go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He says you're to teach, make disciples by baptizing them. That was their commission. Now his last appearance. Now imagine this. These apostles have been with him for at least 3 years. They had seen the trial. They had seen his, had gone through the death. They had gone through his burial in the tomb. They had seen his resurrection. And now this is his last appearance, his very last appearance to them. And it occurred 40 days after his resurrection. And I'm sure this last appearance would be one they would never forget. I want us to focus this morning on Acts chapter 1, especially the first 11 verses. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you can get them out and follow us as we go and look at Jesus ascending into heaven. I want you to first notice the first three verses. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the Spirit was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given those whom he had chosen. To me also presented himself alive after his suffering by many and faithful proofs, during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Remember, this is the second document. After the apostle's earlier account of the gospel begins where Luke ends. There's actually a small at the end of Luke and at the beginning of Acts. If you turn back to Luke chapter 24, you'll notice this overlap. Luke chapter 24, and notice verse 49 and following. This is Jesus. To the apostles, he says in verse 49, 24, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That's while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. This is where Luke and Acts overlaps. Ascension of Christ. He says, Luke does, that he had taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles. He had talked to the apostles. He had given a great commandment. Move God to begin at Jerusalem. Gospel to the people. You have to tell the people that Jesus is alive. And that's what the apostles preached about. Jesus is alive. His body was not left in the tomb. It's not there anymore. He rose from the dead. And when you look at Peter's sermons and you look at Paul's sermons that we have recorded in the book of Acts, what did they preach about? The resurrection of Jesus. That he was alive. He was alive. And he says that Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many unmistakable proofs. There was no doubt about this. And he said this, he was seen by them during 40 days. The 40 days, of course, is between his resurrection, and his ascension. It sums up days. What did he do? Well, he appeared to many of them alive after his ascension. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we see all the different people that Jesus appeared to. And he appeared to many of them. We turn there right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul will talk there about many of the people that Jesus saw. Notice 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again today according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, that's Peter. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. There's a list of the people, over 500 people, that saw Jesus between his resurrection and his ascension. He appeared. He says he presented many unmistakable proofs. I want us to focus on the word proof. A lot of times people think that faith today in Jesus, faith in his death, faith in his resurrection, is some sort of leap in the dark. Well, you just have faith. Well, the kind of faith the Bible talks about is faith based upon evidence. That's why Jesus over and over again showed himself to people. Faith is based upon evidence, unmistakable proofs. It's not a leap in the dark. The only kind of faith God is faith that's based upon evidence. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. So during that 40 days, and what did he speak about? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This was one of his most often talked about subjects, was the kingdom of God. And people still today have mistaken ideas about the kingdom of God and what it is, and what constitutes the kingdom of God, and is it here or is it not? People still have misconceptions about it. Well, in the first century, after his resurrection and before his ascension, even his apostles still had some misconceptions about it. So he spoke about the kingdom during that time, during those 40 days. So what did he tell? Verse 4 of Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Back to what he said in Luke 24. The apostles were to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of a helper of the Holy Spirit would come upon them. They weren't to go anywhere else. They weren't to do anything else. They were to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. It was critical to do so. Jesus has this conversation with the apostles on the very day he's going to ascend. God the Father and God the Son had both told the apostles, had promised the apostles, they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. God the Father did that back in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus says that in John chapter 14. Remember, Jesus is in the upper room right before he institutes the Lord's Supper. He talks to the apostles in John chapter 14. And he says, I'm going to have to go away, but I'm going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit. And he says, the Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance all of these things and is going to guide you into all truth. We go back to John chapter 14, verse 26. And notice what he says there to the apostles. John 14, verse 26. Verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The apostles were human. Humans don't have complete recall. They can't remember everything. So these apostles were going to receive the Holy Spirit miraculously, so they could remember the things Jesus had taught, so they could remember the things Jesus said and the things that He did. Plus, the Holy Spirit was going to guide them into more truth, things that Jesus hadn't even taught. So the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, was going to come to the apostles and teach them all things that they needed to know. All things. Them into all truth. It says this was going to happen, verse 5, for John truly baptized the Holy Spirit many days from now. 10 days. 10 days after this conversation, the day of Pentecost. Remember Pentecost? That's Penti means 50. It was 50 days after Passover. 50 days after that weekend, if we want to call it that. And on that Pentecost, the apostles received the Holy Spirit. We go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 says, the day of Pentecost had come. They were all on accord. And if you go back to the last verse of the preceding chapter, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So he's talking about the 12 apostles. So the 12 apostles were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All 12. Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what Jesus had told them to do, you wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes upon you, until the Spirit comes with power. Well, that happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, those first four verses. They had waited there in Jerusalem. Well, back in Acts chapter 2, no question. They've got one more question to ask before Jesus leaves them. Here's what they ask. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked, saying, Lord, will you this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He had already told them, no, I will not. He had told them over and over again, no, I will not. So why do they ask this question again? I think it goes back to the idea that their hope of a earthly political kingdom had kind of been revived because Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. So maybe they started to think again about maybe this kingdom is going to come, an earthly political kingdom, the kingdom to Israel, he says. One last question, but it's a misconception. Just 10 days later, on Pentecost, what do Peter and the apostles talk about? They talk about Jesus, and they talk about the kingdom. Never again, after the day of Pentecost, never do the apostles have that misconception again, not one single time. That's why the Holy Spirit came upon them. They didn't have all truth, but when the Holy Spirit came, then they were taught. No, this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It has nothing to do with this earth. There's not going to be an earthly kingdom on this earth. The earth's not going to be restored. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom in heaven. That's why it's often called the kingdom of heaven. And so, when the Holy Spirit came, He guided them into all truth. And they never had that misconception again. They always taught, all the apostles taught, that the kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom in heaven. So never again did they make that misconception. Now notice what Jesus does and does not do in the next verse. And He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. Jesus didn't try to correct their misunderstanding. Why? Because the Spirit was going to do that in 10 days. The Spirit was going to guide them into all truth about the kingdom, about the church, about salvation, about heaven, about eternal life, all of these things. So Jesus didn't at this time try and take care of that misunderstanding. The Holy Spirit was going to do that and do it very soon. He did say, you were asking about things that was beyond your right to know right now. What you needed to know would be told you by the Holy Spirit. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Knowing these certain times was not important. People almost from the first century have spent so much time, useless time, trying to figure out when Jesus was going to come. And it's useless time. It's time wasted. Every minute that people try and figure out when Jesus is going to come is wasted time. They have wasted that time. It is not for us to know that. Nor is it for us to try and figure that out. What's important is go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why he gave him that great commission. That's what was important. He says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you shall be witnesses to me. This is what they needed to do. Not be concerned about times and seasons, but be witnesses. Now, they were witnesses in ways we could not be a witness. We're 1,900 years too late to witness like they did. Because they had seen the resurrected Savior. In person, alive. We, of course, haven't. And notice how it's supposed to happen. Beginning in Jerusalem. That's Acts chapters 1 through 7. Acts chapters 1 through 7 is them carrying out that commission in Jerusalem. And then what's next? Then he says after that it's in all Judea and Samaria. Now that's Acts chapters 8 through 12. That tells about them carrying out the great commission in Judea and then into Samaria. And then he says unto the end of the earth. Well, that's Acts chapters 13 to the end of the chapter, or end of the book. So that Acts is an account of how they carried out the Great Commission in all those parts, in all of those areas. And apparently this was the most effective plan for spreading the gospel. This was the best way to do it. People since the first century have been trying to figure out better ways of spreading the gospel. There aren't any. That's the best way, is the way Jesus told people to do it. All we have to do is look in the Bible. How did they spread the gospel in the Bible? That's how we need to do it. That's how we need to do it. Then he says, verse 9, now when he had spoken these things, this was his final conversation, the last things he told them. And isn't, when you know you're going to see somebody for the last time, do you talk about things that aren't important? No. You talk about very, very important matters. That's what Jesus is doing with the apostles. He's talking to them about extremely important matters. So when he had spoken these things while they watched, remember Luke says that as he was rising from the ground that he was blessing, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven and up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, probably angels, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. When he finished talking, he began rising into the air. He was blessing them when he was doing this. The Bible says he kept rising and rising and rising until he disappeared into a cloud and they could not see him. No doubt they were just speechless. They were just spellbound at what they had watched. But these two men remind them he's coming back. He's not coming back to set up a kingdom. He already did that. He's not coming back to die on the cross again. There's no need for that. He's not coming back to start a new religion or a new faith. It says when he comes back, he's going to judge the world. That's why he's coming back. He's going to judge the world. We talked last week about why the resurrection was so important. Why is the ascension so important? I think there's a lot of reasons. Number one, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was prophesied that Jesus would be resurrected and enter heaven. And so if he didn't do that, then we couldn't trust the Old Testament. Go with me back to Psalms 24. 24th Psalm. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. Psalms 24, verse 7. Begins, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? "The Lord of hosts." He's the King of glory. There we have a prophecy about Jesus going into heaven, and we see this figurative lifting up of the gates and lifting up of the doors, and Jesus entering heaven. And that was prophesied, well over 1,000 years before Jesus ascended into heaven. Another reason the ascension is so important is this. Jesus had to ascend before the Holy Spirit could be sent to the apostles. When Jesus is in the upper room, he tells the apostles, "I must leave so the Holy Spirit will come." He said, "The Holy Spirit can't come to you until I leave." So Jesus had to ascend so the Holy Spirit could come on the apostles, so the apostles could be guided into all truth. Also, and this is one we do not think about very much, but the Bible says it was necessary for Jesus to ascend, to return to the Father, to present His atoning blood. Have you ever read that in the Bible? Yeah, it's there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And first of all, notice verse 12. Hebrews 9, verse 12. "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered all, having obtained eternal redemption." The most holy place in the book of Hebrews is referring to heaven. So it says, "With his own blood, he entered heaven once for all." So it was like he was taking his blood, his atoning blood, his redeeming blood, into heaven. We skip down now in the same chapter to verses 24 and 26. It says, "For Christ, the holy place is made of hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Christ for us. Not that he should offer himself often blood of another, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. Once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of God." So he has went into heaven to take his atoning blood. So it was essential that he do that, to appear in the presence of God for us with his blood. Then the Bible says also, he had to return to the Father to receive the kingdom. This was also prophesied back in Daniel chapter 7. I think it's important we read that. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. There we have a picture of Jesus going to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and him being given a kingdom. So Jesus had to ascend to that kingdom. And then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, at the end of time, Jesus is going to give that kingdom back to the Father. So when he ascended, the Bible says he received that kingdom from the Father. And then at the end, he gave that kingdom back to the Father. 1 Corinthians. All of those things were necessary. And they all because of his. Bible says just as Jesus ascended to heaven, he's going to return. He's going to return. When he wrote 1 Thessalonians 4, we have these words, and these is what I will leave you with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Who's going to be with the Lord? The faithful, the righteous. Those are going to be with the Lord. We are going to meet him in the air. The Bible never even hints that he will ever touch foot on this earth again. We're going to meet him in the air, and he's going to take us with him back to heaven. So are we ready for that day? You know, we sing an invitation song about being, are we ready? Are we ready for that day to come? Are we ready? Have we placed our faith in Christ? Have we repented and confessed and had our sins washed away? Do we continue to ask for forgiveness on a daily basis, so that his blood will continue to cleanse us of all sin? That's the only way we'll ever be prepared. This morning, Dean has picked out a invitation song. If you have a need, we want you to come as we stand and sing.